perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect. Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Thanks, Adam, and welcome to the program, everybody. I am Bill Snyder, and this is Young Catholics Respond. Thank you so much for being here with us on today's program, especially if you are joining us as a listener in Huntley, Illinois. You guys are our newest listening audience, and just a pleasure to have you guys with us on 101.5 in Huntley, Illinois. Thanks so much for joining us. In addition to that, I want to just tell you a little bit about our ministry and how you can get in touch with us. The best way is always via the email info@patchworkheart.org. But recently we opened up a Patreon account, and the Patreon allows you to know who's coming up on our program the day before, along with some other really exciting news in our ministry. Want you to be able to go check it out and become our patron on Patreon. That can be found at patreon.com/patchworkheartministry. So check us out on Patreon. It's exciting. Our ministry is growing by leaps and bounds, and we want you to be a part of it. So thanks so much. But on today's program, I am so very blessed to be joined once again by Penny Warner. And Penny is a convert to the Catholic faith. They converted, her and her husband Matt converted in 2000. They also have four children, three sons, ages 9, 11, and 14, and an 18-year-old daughter who's attending Benedictine College. They've been working in the Catholic Church for 27 years with their Mercy Ministry. They've been working for 18 years in the Catholic Church for 27 overall with the youth. And Penny developed a wonderful devotion to Divine Mercy in 2012. And so, Penny, welcome to the program once again, and thank you for joining me. We're going to have a great conversation with you again today about your conversion, and it's a perfect time to talk conversion as we're here on the second day of Lent.
Yes, absolutely. Hi, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's great to have you on again. So so I know the first time we talked about your love chaplet, which is beautiful. And listeners, if you missed that episode, go back on our podcast and check it out. It's a fantastic episode talking all about the love chaplet, the beautiful chaplet the Holy Spirit gave Penny. But on today's program, I want to talk with you, Penny, about your conversion, because it's an incredible story. So I'm just going to let you tell the story, and when the Holy Spirit asks me to jump in, I'll jump in.
Okay. Well, as I told you, or as you had said, we've been Catholic now since 2000. My husband and I met in 1992, or actually 1991, and we started to be very involved in our church. We were both Baptist at the time. My husband was a Baptist minister, and I was very involved in our church. So we became really interested in working with the youth at that point. And so, but it came to, I don't know, it was like around 2098, something like that. My husband was very interested in the early church and how the early church was formed. And so he started to research that. And we, you know, he couldn't find the church because he wasn't researching the Catholic Church. He didn't know he was researching about the Catholic Church, but he was actually. So I didn't really know that he was doing this because, you know, he was just doing it kind of on his own. And I went to on a mission trip with a Protestant group from the college that I was actually attending at the time. And my husband and I always try to connect at the end of the day, no matter where we are. And so he called me and he was all excited. And he was like, I have something to tell you. And I'm like, well, what? And he's like, well, I've been looking at the early church and I really think that God is calling us to be Catholic. And I was shocked. I just couldn't believe it because Catholics were those people, you know, that worship saints and worship statues and have to go to confession and all of that stuff that people have misconceptions about. And I thought that he was going crazy. And so I just told him, you know, I'm not feeling called to do this at all. And he's like, and I said, well, even to the point where my minister at the time told me that I needed to leave him because he was taking me to hell and my future kids with him. And so I was, I definitely did not want to be Catholic at the time. But he told me, I told him I didn't want to. And he said, I can understand if you can't do this and you don't want to be with me and you can leave. But I will never leave you, and I have to do this because I found the truth, and it's the truth, and I have to do this. And so I started to research it a little bit on my own. Didn't want him to know I was researching it because I didn't want him to know that I was interested at all. And I told him, I said, okay, the only way I would become Catholic is if God put us in a place where we could have this one priest. We knew this one priest, and he actually prayed in our Protestant wedding. And I said, if he comes to this parish where we're moving to, because we were going to move to this little town, and we get this priest, then I'll go to Mass with you. Well, I thought there's no way that can happen. Well, we moved to this little town, and who showed up at the church was this priest. And I was like, are you kidding, God? This is like, okay, well, you're obviously telling me I need to go to Mass with my husband. So at the time, he was going to RCIA classes. And of course, I was not, because I was actually going to my church that we had been attending together, and then I would go to Mass with him. So that's what we started to do. And I just started to feel kind of separated, like a little bit from my husband, because he was really excited about this faith that I thought he was going crazy. And I thought, okay, well, I need to look at this because I don't want to be unequally yoked from my husband. I knew that he loved me, and I knew that if we had kids, we hadn't had kids yet. If we had kids, I didn't want them to be in a home where there was a separation there. So I started to pray about it, and I really felt that God wanted me to come into the church, even though I really didn't want to. And so I met with the priest, and I told him that. I said, you know, I don't want to be Catholic, but my husband wants to be Catholic, and I know that I need to be where my husband is, so I'm going to join the church. And he said, well, welcome aboard. So then I started to go to some of the RCIA classes. I didn't go to all of them, but he knew the priest there at the time knew my heart, and he knew how much I loved God, and he knew that my husband was there to help me. And I started to just learn more about it, about the Catholic faith. And we both came into the church in 2000. Now, it wasn't but 12 years later that Catholicism went from my head to my heart. And I couldn't say that I was like fully on board, you know, like I knew it was the truth, and I wanted to be a part of it because of my husband. But I couldn't say that if he were to ever, you know, pass away or something like that, that I could continue, because I wasn't completely in it. And then 12 years later, I attended a tech conference, Teens Encounter Christ conference. And I was just going because the youth, I was going to try to start leading these conferences. And so I needed to go and be a part of one. But I thought, oh, it's just for the youth. I'm just going to listen and learn how to do this conference. Well, it wasn't just for the youth. It was for me. And I, all of a sudden, this light came on in my heart, and it matched the light in my head, and I became fully Catholic. And I came home from that retreat and I just was on fire for the Catholic Church, and it became my own. And I would sit down at my table and have all these books out, and I just wanted to learn everything I could about my own faith. It was no longer just my husband's faith, and I wasn't just riding his coattails because I knew he was leading me as his wife, but I was actually having that faith myself. And it was so freeing to be able to actually say, yeah, this is my faith. This is what I believe, not just what my husband believes, but this is what I believe. And so, you know, from there, my heart just continued to grow for the faith. And, you know, I tell a lot of people, cradle Catholics, you know, those that have grown up Catholic all their lives, they don't realize how blessed they are to be born into such a rich tradition. Because when we converted, we lost friends and family. So we converted for a reason, and to be able to be blessed with that is such an honor. And I wish that everybody would understand that, you know, even people who grew up Catholic, that they say they're Catholic, but they really don't know what their faith teaches. And that, you know, that goes back to the youth then. And that's what Matt and I like to teach our youth, how rich and how awesome our Catholic faith is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. That was quite a long little.
No, it's wonderful. It's always amazing to hear how people come into the church and how they discover that depth and beauty of Catholicism. It's an amazing journey that you have. And what I think about it is it's so relatable. It's so relatable because it's a, you know, it's a common story. There can be people out there listening to this right now, surfing the channels, looking for a, you know, answer in the car. You know, you don't know where they are. You don't know what appointments the Holy Spirit has made with them, that, you know, and your story is so relatable. One that people can, you know, just hear and go, okay, you know what, let me check this out a little bit further. You know, I've had a, a passing interest with this, or there's, you know, maybe, you know, maybe they do have somebody like exactly like your situation, where your husband was the one that, you know, kind of, you know, pushed you and gave you the impetus to go and search for it more. And then boom, eventually, you know, your whole being is into it. You know, so what I want to do is take a short break because we have to, okay. But then when we come back, I want to talk with you about those things that drew him into the faith. What were those things that the truth, that he encountered, as you said, you know, he found the truth. I have to follow this. So what were those things? And then also, you know, what eventually, you know, as you continue to grow and continue to do, how have you guys been, you know, leading the charge? And because I know you're doing so many different things to help lead the charge now that you've discovered this truth. So I got to take that short break. But when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Penny Warner. This is Young Catholic Respond. I'm Bill Snyder. If you're at home and not doing anything for the next 2.5 minutes, go ahead and log on to Patreon and support us on Patreon. Right back after this.
How has the Men of Christ Conference impacted men and families?
My name's John. I'm married to a wonderful wife. We have 3 children. I'm an attorney in Milwaukee. I had a lot of excuses for not attending the conference. It's easy to say you don't have time for something new. It seemed very different. I had been estranged from my father for about 6 years. Men of Christ Conference allowed me to better understand things like mercy, love, and forgiveness to the point that my father and I were able to reconcile before he passed. In those last 2 months of his life, I was able to help bring him back to the faith. Prior to the Men of Christ Conference, I was the bare minimum Catholic. But in what aspect of your life is doing the bare minimum ever acceptable?
Join 3,000 men on Saturday, March 30th in Milwaukee for the Men of Christ Conference. Learn more and register at menofchrist.net. That's menofchrist.net.
St. Therese of Lisieux's Little Way of the Cross, written by Victoria Clarizo and designed by Just Love Prince, is a beautiful prayer booklet that helps you pray the Stations of the Cross. Use these reflections to meditate on the great love and mercy that Jesus had for us as he journeyed to Calvary. The Little Way of the Cross includes gems from Scripture, the writings of St. Therese, and the words of Jesus from the imagination and prayer of the author. Go to justloveprince.com to get your copy today. Patchwork Heart Ministry is committed to sowing hope into broken hearts by helping young people encounter the love of Jesus Christ and His Catholic Church through prayer, storytelling, and media initiatives. We invite you to prayerfully consider supporting this mission financially. Mail your tax-deductible donation to Patchwork Heart Ministry at P.O. Box 563, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, zip code 53147. Or visit patchworkheart.org to donate online. That's Patchwork Heart Ministry, P.O. Box 563, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, 53147, or online at patchworkheart.org.
Hi, everybody. Bill Snyder here. Just want to thank you for listening to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. And as a founder of Patchwork Heart Ministry, we have so much more going on than just our podcasts. Check it out at patchworkheart.org.
Our Blessed Mother wants only the best for her children and has given us a special place where she promises to help all those who appeal to her motherly love and protection. Telling Saint Juan Diego that here I will alleviate the sufferings of all those who love me and seek my protection. That holy place is now the site of the beautiful Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. If you would like to learn more about how you can visit this special place of grace, please visit vivaguadalupe.org for more information. Our Lady may be calling you now.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Welcome back to this episode of Young Catholics Respond, everybody. I am Bill Snyder. Thank you so much for being a part of our ministry, tuning into this radio show. Don't forget to share it with a friend. We've got many ways to do that. Number one, you can join our mailing list. Find it on our website at patchworkheart.org. Every single week, you'll get a new email right in your email list containing a link to this episode and all of our other ones. So check it out. In addition to that, always find us on email at info@patchworkheart.org. But right now, we're going to continue our conversation with Penny Warner. She is a Catholic convert to the faith and just told us an amazing conversion story, but also one that is highly relatable. The angel didn't drop out of the sky and say, convert to the Catholic Church. And that's a beautiful thing because we have to have relatable stories that include miracles, but not ones that are sometimes so far-fetched that people go, oh, wait a minute. It's a wonderful story, Penny, but I want to ask you a little bit about the elements of truth that, you know, as Matt was converting into the faith and kind of leading you as his wife into the faith, what were those things that he came back and said, hey, you know what, I found these elements of the truth that you know, through my research and through my study of the church fathers and Catholicism, what were those elements of truth that he just could no longer deny?
You know, he had always studied the church, like not, and I don't want to say the church as far as the Catholic Church, but just any denomination. And we kind of searched from church to church. We kind of church hopped because we couldn't really find exactly what we were looking for. And when I say we, at this point in my life, it was really Matt, and whatever my husband said was kind of what I did. And so at that point, that's how that was. But he was studying basically the early fathers, like you had said. You know, you can find historical evidence for things, and they don't even have to be like in the Bible, because like when we were Baptist, that was what we believed. Just if it wasn't in the Bible, then it wasn't part of history. And you know, that's been what has been so great about the church, is that we also, we don't only just have the Bible, the inspired word of God, we also have the church and the traditions of the church that have been here since the very beginning of time. And so he started to study those things and saw how far back this church went. It can follow all the way back to our first pope, which is, you know, Peter. And we can actually see from pope to pope to pope how our church has progressed from, you know, that very early time when Jesus made Peter our first pope, to all the popes in between, to where we are now. And I think that's the beginning where he saw that, where he, you know, because when you look at other denominations, they begin, but they just begin and they don't have any tradition behind it. And the reason why is because, you know, they don't trust tradition. They just trust what the Bible means, or what the Bible says. And, you know, the thing is, you know, you ask your Protestant friends, you know, you believe in the Bible, but where did the Bible come from? Did it just kind of fall from the sky in written form, you know,
yeah.
Or where did it come from? And that's kind of a question they can't really answer. And then that's what I tell the youth, you know, you can say that, okay, you believe in the Bible only. Well, where did the Bible come from? You know, it came from word to word to word of mouth until now. And so, you know, that's the biggest thing. We would see in scripture, or my husband would see in scripture, things that didn't just quite agree with where we were at the time. And he kind of skipped over those scriptures, you know, skipped over those scriptures. And when he was researching the church, the Catholic Church, which he didn't know was the Catholic Church at the time, he saw that all of those scriptures that he skipped over were actually, you know, scriptures that we need to, you know, to understand the whole faith. And so that's where it all started, with learning about the traditions of the church and how the magisterium is set up, and how it does go all the way back to our first disciples, our first pope, Peter. And so that was the beginning of it. And, you know, that played a lot in my heart too, but I'm more of a feely type person, kind of. More so, my husband needs facts, you know. I need emotion, and that was a big thing for me too, you know, with the sacraments and the things that you get from, you know, those sacraments, and the forgiveness that you feel when you go into the confessional and you come out. So those were the things that I hung on to at the beginning, were the sacraments and the most special stuff about that.
Excellent.
Yeah. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. It did. And I think, you know, for people who are out there researching the church, I mean, you know, this is that time of year. Lent is that time of year when we begin doing that self-examination, and we begin taking a deeper look at the truth, and how the truth is present in our life. And so conversion stories and talking about conversion is one of those chief things that we do during Lent, because each and every one of us has to convert deeper. And the thing I love about your story is the fact that it's one of deeper conversion continuing throughout your life. It wasn't this instant, you know, pop, I believe everything, I feel this in my heart, and I'm going to be, you know, doing it for the rest of my life. I think that there are so many Catholics out there that have been born cradle Catholics,
mm-hmm.
that sit there and they go, oh, you know, I don't know if I believe this about the church, and I don't know if I believe this about the church, but I know that something is true about the whole thing. And I think that that is such a common occurrence in today's world that when you begin looking at how do I take these tenets of faith and how do I move them from the facts to mm-hmm. the heart, what is the key there? How do we take the things that we wrestle with and maybe some of the things that we disagree with about the church? Because I think we all have things that we don't like about the church or that don't sit right with us, right? As Matt kind of said, you kind of just decided to skip over them, right? I don't like this part, but I just kind of skip over it. How do we begin to have those moments of deeper conversion and move deeper?
You know, one thing that I have seen since my conversion is that we have in the Catholic Church something that the Protestant churches don't have that set us apart, and that is the true presence of Christ in the tabernacle. When we're sitting there, we're actually sitting in the presence of Jesus. And when I go back and visit, I feel such an emptiness there. But don't get me wrong, because we have some very loving Protestant brothers and sisters who love Jesus. But I just wish that they could see and feel the fullness that the Eucharist gives us. And so that was what was such an awesome conversion for me, was to be able to encounter Christ in a way that I never have before. And that was in the actual true body and blood of our Jesus Christ. And I, why wouldn't you want to be Catholic when you can actually do that?
Yeah, when God wants to be part of you and enter into your soul and your heart, in a very physical and intimate way, you can't get that anywhere else. Yes. And it is something that truly, truly does spark deeper conversion. I think it was Padre Pio said that the world could exist better without the sun than without the Eucharist. So it's something that. That's not a direct quotation, but it's something along those lines. Penny, I just in the closing few minutes that we have, I want to ask you a little bit about how people could find you, find your ministry. I know things are, going off with the Love Chaplet, but how else can people find you and be a part of what you're doing?
Okay. Well, my website is lovechaplet.com, and it is a place where you can go and learn more about the Love Chaplet and how it came to me as a result of my devotion to the Divine Mercy. And there's a place on there where you can contact me by email. And I would love to talk to anybody about that ministry that I have. I know that God is really taking that chaplet and bringing forth fruit from it. And so I'd love for you to be a part of that if they would like to contact me with that. So lovechaplet.com, and it's all one word. And I'd love to talk to people about that.
Awesome. Penny, I appreciate your time so very much here today on Young Catholics Respond. I'm sure we'll have many more conversations like this one. So thanks so much for being here again on Young Catholics Respond. And may you continue to have a blessed Lent.
Thank you so much. You too, Bill.
All right. Well, this has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. Until next time, from all of us here at Patchwork Heart Ministry, I'm Bill Snyder. Keep beating to your Catholic heart.
You've been listening to Young Catholics Respond, a radio initiative of Patchwork Heart Ministry. To learn more about our ministry and program, visit us at patchworkheart.org Or, to get exclusive access and early ministry updates, become our patron on Patreon by searching for Patchwork Heart Ministry.